to Night of the Living Geeks. If you geek out over it, we've got a podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Podcastica, a Doctor Who review podcast here on NOTLG.com. Episode 124, we watched The Christmas Invasion. My name is John, and joining me, as he does every time we record, is my good friend Taylor. Taylor, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
It is going quite well. I am somewhat tired, but I'm ready to do this. I did my my weekend trip to LA and decided to do the 7:30 flight back, which this I can gratefully say is my last time doing this flight.
Hoo boy.
Until I come back to visit the greater Bay Area.
As we hope you do.
We will. And by we, I am now Venom, apparently. I am...
Okay.
I am possessed by the symbiote, and I am basically Spider-Man, but creepier. No, I will. I will definitely be coming back up to visit. I still have friends and family here, so...
And obviously, you know, we still need to do a meal before you...
We do.
Skedaddle south.
So if you just want to know, also my last day of work is Friday...
Oh,
and then I'm free and clear, Taylor. So I'm all not. Right. I'm trying to spend as much time here as I can before I have to leave. So let's. Well, we could probably do lunch next week.
Yeah,
for sure. I think
that would be a really good idea. Let's make that happen.
All right, we'll figure that out. But I guess we have other stuff to get to.
Well, yes, not only that, but a happy belated Mother's Day to all the
mothers out there. To all of our favorite mothers and all who are our favorite mothers, all of them.
Yes.
Every single one of them.
Cover them all.
Yeah. Got them all.
Yep.
Got to catch them all. Not really. Just got to say happy Mother's Day to them
all.
There
you go.
Perfect. How you been?
Good. Good. Yeah. I mean, things have been busy. Obviously, we had our Mother's Day thing and added some more patio furniture to the backyard.
Awesome.
We now have a picnic table.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We'd previously gotten kind of some outdoor chairs and a little table and stuff. So
nice.
Been all of that going on. It works just being work, but
yep.
Such is life.
I hear that. I definitely
for a little while longer,
and then I have a job lined up, so that's good.
Oh, good, 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 good. I was going to ask. Yeah. I just wasn't sure if it was something I should be asking in front of our nation of listeners.
That's fine. That is fine. That is a perfectly good question to ask me, and the answer is yes. I do have a job lined up. So
excellent.
It's all good in the LA hood. Or it will be.
There's quite a lot of hoods in LA.
Yes, there's a bunch of them.
Neighborhoods, not like
hoods. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's those to do.
So speaking of LA, we're going to get into the Who news here. And the first bit of Who news is, how'd that getting a hotel room go, Gallifrey 1 attendees? How did that go for everyone? Taylor, you can, I think you can speak to this.
I can very much speak to this, and it's I personally had no trouble.
Yeah, you had no trouble.
I got the Thursday to Sunday. I have a method to my madness.
I thought I did too, but apparently, anyway. Well, we'll get to
you
that.
You were on mobile, right? You were on your phone.
I was on my phone, and the good folks of Gallifrey One said we will be editing this post, and I sat there. And waited for them to edit the post, and it was edited to after the fact. I saw it in the comments they posted it, but they didn't put it in the look.
Well,
I don't know.
Were you refreshing?
Yes, I was refreshing, closing the program, reopening it.
Holy moly.
Opening the thing, yes, and nothing showed up for about a minute and a half.
I'm going to say that was probably something with the Facebook app's cache.
I would assume so.
I was sitting here well, not here, but I was sitting at work in front of my computer.
Yes.
On the page, literally the last 5 minutes, when I saw that that next minute ticked over, I would refresh the page.
Yeah.
And I would scroll to look at the post. So the moment it hits noon, I'm hitting refresh. The moment I'm able to scroll and see the post, if it's not changed, I instantly hit refresh again.
Yeah.
And I scroll and I look. And if it's still not, I hit and I keep doing that loop until I see it. And then I am super speedy click man. At that point, I've got a post-it note in front of me. Like, these are the dates we want. This is this. This is that. I had, you know, my wallet with my credit card propped up so I could enter those digits as fast as I could.
Yeah. I hear that.
That's my method, folks. If you want to adopt that, by all means, please do.
So basically what happened was we have a little group chat on Facebook between myself, Taylor, and friends of the show, Peter and Anna. Mm-hmm. And they got a you got a hotel room, no problem. And I was just like, well, and I was in the car with my girlfriend, Lauren, and her mother. And the mood in the car was not good, mainly because I was very upset. This is the first time I had not gotten a hotel room. And I was just like, I refreshed this page. I refreshed it a million times. And she had actually posted a status saying, hey, did anyone get an extra room? Because we need one. And Anna messaged me, I want to say, maybe 5 minutes after, and she said, hey, I got a room. And I was like, yeah, I know. And she goes, no, I got a room as well. And she says, yeah, so she says, I just kept trying, and I finally got one. And so through the power of magic, or I don't know, whatever, Dino DNA, whatever you want to say, we got ourselves a hotel room, so everyone is happy. And it did seem like kind of a fiasco. I mean, but I feel like they always have to post that, like, we told you many times.
Yep, they do.
They do a great job. And I was just upset with not being able to get it mobily, which I thought wouldn't have been a huge problem.
Yeah, you would think, but I don't know. I mean, maybe if you had been logged into Facebook through whatever browser you use on your phone and you were refreshing that way, it would behave differently than the app would.
Yeah, probably.
You know, but you know what? We've got one that we can transfer into your name.
Yes.
You know, it'll work out just fine.
Everything will be great. We're going to be going to Gallifrey 1 and hopefully we'll start announcing some guests maybe in like 2 months here. I can't remember.
In the summer, if nothing else.
Yeah, I got to find out when the last time the first time they announced a guest last year was. The first block. And then maybe we could just gauge it off of that. That would be great.
That's the way to do it.
But anyway, we have more exciting news.
We do.
Taylor's going to be on Gallifrey Public Radio, everybody.
Yeah, so if you are listening to this episode, then more than likely, the most recent episode of Gallifrey Public Radio, episode 285, I believe it is up and live. And I was asked to guest on it, kind of not quite last minute, but, you know, the Thursday before a Sunday recording, Keir Hansen reached out to me over Twitter and was like, hey, you want to come be on our show on Sunday? and they were nice enough to push back their recording time because they're Eastern time zone and Central time zone, whereas I'm on the West Coast. And I'm kind of like, well, I've got to put my kid to bed first. And that's like 7:30.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's cool, we'll stay up. And I'm like, seriously? So, yeah, we recorded right up till about 9 o'clock Pacific time last night, so midnight in Connecticut.
Wow.
Very, very excited, very fun. We watched the Santarin experiment a fourth Doctor, believe it or not, two-episode story.
Ooh, two-episode?
Yeah. I know.
Interesting. They actually had one. Goodness.
Yeah. So that was fun to talk about, and obviously I meant, you know, got to push a little Podcastica, so hopefully if you are finding us from Gallifrey Public Radio, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes, hello. Thank you for listening.
But no, it was a good time. Great guys. You know, hopefully we'll get a chance to do something like this again, and if nothing else, hopefully run into them at Gallifrey.
Yeah, that would be super cool. It's always great to meet up with other podcasters.
Yeah, and if nothing else, when their episode goes live, we'll be sure to retweet it onto the podcast.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
What else do we got here? We have a follow-up. The auction copy of An Unearthly Child sold for £6,200, which is apparently $8,400.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Arnold's copy. Yeah, $8,400. That's pretty good money for the script that started it all.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Taylor. I'm gonna let you take it from here. I got very excited. So
that's okay. You're allowed to get excited. Well, speaking of scripts, the Doctor Who Appreciation Society actually has a copy of last season's episode "Knock Knock," which has been signed by Peter Capaldi, Pearl Mackie, and David Suchet up for auction. The proceeds benefit Denville Hall, which those of you guys who were at Gallifrey 2 years ago, that's the charity that Lala Ward champions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I'm oversimplifying it, but calling it the old folks home for actors. but that is at its core kind of what it is. But we'll have a link to that in the show notes. I'm not sure if the script has actually already gone across the block yet or not. It actually feels like it's been more than 2 weeks since we've recorded.
Yeah, it always does.
Right?
Always does. And I actually, I really liked Knock Knock. I thought that was a good episode.
It had a lot of
tropes in it. Actually, I feel like it might be the 1 year anniversary of us talking about that.
Oh, it's probably pretty close, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like this is a very true truth.
Because we were definitely well into, we were probably Knock Knock or Oxygen this time last year, because I remember Doctor Who premiered on Tax Day on April 15th.
Yes, it did.
Last year, holy moly.
Knock Knock, our review went up on May 9th.
Okay, and right now it is May 14th.
Yeah, so we're basically closer to Oxygen at this point.
By just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Look at that. Perfect.
Nice. Well, a university student has restored and upgraded what is believed to be one of the first actual canine units.
Yes.
This story coming to us from the Sci-Fi Channel's Sci-Fi Wire. Apparently this university kid bought straight from the BBC the shell, effectively. Of a canine, and rebuilt it as his basically like a master's project almost.
That's cool.
Upgraded all the internals. Basically, wrote an app to control it because you can get that modern with it now. And honestly, he really would love to get in touch with John Leeson to actually try and record. Some pieces that he could have
this canine,
you know, speak.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
Through the app, which would be, that would be really cool.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Just
bring it to Gallifrey.
Right? That would be such a neat thing. Everybody would think it was just be something, you know, you built in your shed, but.
Nope.
You know, little would they know.
Little would they know indeed.
Well. Speaking of things you see at Gallifrey One, Big Finish.
Yeah.
have, I'm working every segue I can tonight. they've announced their fifth installment of the River Song Adventures.
Yes.
I cannot believe this. When I first read this, I just about lost it. This set is going to pit her against different masters, including 3 exclamation points, no less yes. than Michelle Gomez.
Yes.
Bless that woman.
Fantastic.
And hot off the TV movie, Eric Roberts.
Yes. Very. That is, that's pretty crazy.
That is bonkers, as I like to say.
Yes, that is very much bonkers.
Can you imagine going to Eric Roberts after 22 years?
About, yeah.
Saying, hey, here's what we do. We'd like you to come back.
Yeah.
And play a part that you were for basically in like what, an hour and a half.
And we want you to be a snake again.
That's crazy. Oh God. Yeah. Oh God.
You're right. Welcome.
Oh boy. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was just, I'm not sure if it was on this day, but I think it was within the past couple of days that the TV movie originally aired.
Oh, look at that.
If I'm not mistaken. Oh, well, talking about strange alternate universe masters, let's talk all strange alternate universe doctors. Russell T. Davies really wanted Hugh Grant to play the Doctor when he revived the series back in 2005.
Oh, yeah.
And that did not come to pass, unfortunately. But I think actually a later story, I do have a link to this story, but a later story actually came out that it was actually Hugh Grant's manager who basically kind of like was like, no, he doesn't want to do that, rather than letting it get all the way up to him.
Yeah.
That's at least what I've heard.
Do you think that guy is still his manager?
I hope not.
Well, because I remember hearing that Hugh Grant said it was one of his biggest regrets not playing the Doctor.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of got to a little bit in that whole, oh my God, why is the name escaping me?
It was the
Curse of the Fatal Death.
Yes, Curse of the Fatal Death. Goodness.
Such a classic. We should just review that sometime.
We should. I'd be fine with that.
And lastly tonight, speaking of time travel, I think it is worth noting that the third Bill and Ted film, Bill and Ted Face the Music, is finally, at long last, in pre-production.
Yeah, I saw this recently. Pretty cool.
I'm stoked. I can't wait to, I'm totally on board. I would love to see.
Great title.
What they do with this, yes.
I believe I read something about they have to, they're dealing with their teenagers. They have teenagers now.
They do.
I believe I read something where they also have to, they want to write one last good song.
They still haven't written the song.
Oh, that's right. They
haven't written the song that's supposed to, you know, bring about world peace. And they're basically, they're given like, you know, a day to do it or a week to do it or something like that. And so time travel hijinks ensue as they plan to go to the future and steal it from themselves.
I can't remember. That's pretty much the only thing I read is they're dealing with being time traveling dads or something like that. I can't remember. I'm fine. I'm sure it'll be great.
Oh yeah. I there's so much love that the people who make this and the people who act in this have for this.
Oh yeah.
That nobody's in it doing it like, well, let's just do another one. Let's just bust one out. Let's just do it for the money.
Definitely.
And also I want to point out just real quickly, the NBC show Timeless had an epic season finale last night. I watched it earlier today and it just knocked my socks off.
Well,
in fact, people were tweeting so much about it last night. It literally nationwide was trending second only to Mother's Day.
I saw that.
It was trending higher than American Idol is trending.
Well, good. Because yeah, American Idol is
dumb. We're all hoping it really gets a season three. And again, I say if you haven't had a chance to watch it, please, please go try and find it on demand or whatever service it's on and check it out. It is so good.
Yeah, definitely check that out.
All right.
Shall we?
We shall.
All right, this week we watched The Christmas Invasion, starring David Tennant as the Doctor, Billy Piper as Rose, Camille Koduri as Jackie Tyler, Noel, not Noel, don't know where that came from last week, Noel Clark as Mickey Smith, and Penelope Wilton as Harriet Jones, Prime Minister. We know. Written by Russell T. Davies and directed by James Hawes. That's how I'm going to say it.
That's how most of us would say it, I think.
Excellent. It first aired on Christmas Day in 2005, and it is technically the first story of season two. They do those weird everywhere.
I know.
Strange, right?
I personally wouldn't do the Christmas special as being the first episode of the next season. It's the last episode of the current season, but I don't get to make these decisions.
Yep. If only we did. If only we did. So, Taylor, right. We got a slew of the story notes, so take it away here.
Yeah, so thank you, TARDISwikia. The Doctor recognizes human blood and its blood type by taste, but clearly he's never watched the Bloodborne Pathogens videos that teachers have to watch.
Oh.
Yeah, don't go tasting blood, people. You don't know where it's been. You don't know what's in it.
Very true.
That's all I'm saying.
Very true.
this is the first time the Torchwood Institute is acknowledged to exist as a physical entity.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember a time before Torchwood existed?
I do. It was great.
Following this episode, the Attack of the Grask, an interactive mini-episode starring David Tennant, was made available on the BBC Red Button, which I think was their iPlayer at that time.
The big red button. Should I touch the big red button?
Always touch the big red button. this also marks the first time in the new series that any room in the TARDIS other than the console room is seen on screen. The TARDIS wardrobe.
Yes.
Yeah. This next part, I really wish had ended up in the cut that we have, but in a scene filmed for the episode but deleted before broadcast, although it's included on the DVD, the Doctor attempts to utter his predecessor's catchphrase, fantastic, but due to his new teeth, finds it initially impossible to do so. This scene was intended to set up the final scene of the episode, in which the new Doctor actually finally says, fantastic.
That's amazing.
Isn't that great?
Have you watched that?
No.
I'm sure we could find it somewhere.
I'm sure it's included on the DVD. It's got to be a bonus bit somewhere. So when I grab the DVD to watch it, I just watched the episode.
I definitely need to watch this.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, I'm a total doof. I streamed it. I watched it on Amazon, my bad.
Oh.
A signal intrusion incident that occurred in Chicago during an airing of the Fourth Doctor episode, Horror of Fang Rock. You know, we've talked about this before, the famous Max Headroom.
Yes.
Is referenced by Harriet Jones's aide, Alex, when he says the official story of the Sycorax appearing via the probe is because of a mask, some sort of prosthetic, you know, students hijacking the signal.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't realize that was supposed to be a particular callback to that. The Doctor's speech to Harriet Jones about how Earth is drawing attention to itself recalls a similar statement made by the Brigadier when recruiting Liz Shaw to UNIT in Spearhead from Space.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then. Look at that. Look at that. Ties all together somehow. And always. So, Taylor, you have a trademarked world-famous synopsis for us, so if you will.
Indeed. So the Doctor lands in London just in time for a nice long nap while the Sycorax try to invade Earth. Will he recover in tea time to save the day? Will he get handy with the leader of the Sycorax? Also, don't you think she looks tired? Yes, we know who she is.
Oh, boy. So here we are with some good old David Tennant. It's been a while, for me at least. Actually, no, it hasn't been a while. We watched the 50th, so it hasn't been that long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just rewatched this today, and it's still strange to see the way everything's... It's so different from Moffat's era.
It is. It really is.
It's just so different. It's very strange. Everything's light and... Wait a minute. Is Stephen Moffat... Is he like our DC? Is he a DC movie?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Dark and gritty.
Yeah, interestingly enough, the shot that's used at the very beginning of the episode is actually the same shot that's used in Rose.
Is it now?
It is. The whole passing, you know, by the planet and then zooming down.
Oh, yes.
It is literally the self-same shot.
Oh, my goodness. That is very, yeah. Very true. Huh. I did not realize that. So everybody's just bummed. Everyone's just so bummed. Jackie's bummed. Mickey's bummed, but he's still working because he's a blue-collar gentleman. And we hear a familiar whooshing sound.
And we've got incoming.
And I love that. I almost wish there was a... No, I don't really wish there was a scene. But you know that Mickey... And Jackie, much like we have, if in case of a fire, you meet across the road, and you make sure everyone's safe. They're like, in case of TARDIS sound, we meet here.
Their evacuation.
Yes.
Meeting point.
Yes, they're like, in case of whooshing sound, we meet here. This is where we will meet. So the TARDIS coming in hot.
Oh boy, yeah.
I'm sure it did some property damage. Didn't really appear to, but then, you know, again, well, graphics.
Nicked that truck.
Yeah, man. Like, it's so funny because at the end he's like, oh, everybody knows about aliens now. I'm like, the entire block knows about aliens. They saw a giant spaceship hit two buildings.
Ricochet off a dumpster.
Yes. Right? Come on. And people came out of it. They knew already. And we get David Tennant being David Tennant.
We do.
To start off. And I love, he's like, oh, I wanted to tell you something. And he's like, oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you Merry Christmas. And then he just passes out.
Yep.
And then it wouldn't be a regeneration episode if we didn't get our nice little line into the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Who.
I would love to... somebody surely has a supercut of every single time.
Oh, I bet.
This gag is made.
Oh, I would love to see that.
I'd love to know just what the count is.
I wonder. Do you think there is... How many times has Doctor Who been said on Doctor Who?
Yeah. Somebody somewhere's got to know. Somebody's got to... I don't know, spreadsheet or something.
I've typed it in.
Yeah, all right.
How many times has Doctor Who been said in Doctor Who? Here we go, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go. This is an article from 2016, so it's probably been said a couple of more times. How many times? How many times, you ask? Taylor, do you have a guess?
Oh, do I have a guess?
Yeah.
23.
Ooh, you have one of those right. One of those numbers is right. It's
the tens column or the ones column?
The one column.
Oh, okay.
It has been said 63 times in 53 years.
Ah.
Yes.
So that's literally making the gag an average of once a year, and we don't even get the show once a year.
Very true.
Oh my god.
Very true. That's 1.19 mentions of the show title per year over the sci-fi behemoth's entire history.
Wow.
The sci-fi behemoth Doctor Who. That's great. I love that description. Good.
Holy moly.
Good on you, Radio Times.
Somebody had the thesaurus open that day.
They had to.
Oh, man.
They couldn't say. They were like, this needs a bigger word. Behemoth. That's great. Also a great metal band. Anyway, that's beside the point. We're talking about Doctor Who, guys.
Not Monthly Music Digest.
No. Is this a new opening? New open?
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. The music has been redone.
What do you think of I'm just going to throw out some questions here. What do you think of this logo? When you look back at it?
I feel like it comes across a little dated.
It almost feels like they were like, all right, we're bringing back Doctor Who. Who do we got? We got Eccleston. We got all these people attached to it. All right, let's make this show. Uh-oh, we forgot about the logo. We just throw something together. I don't care. It doesn't matter. That's kind of how it feels.
Like somebody went and tried to do 3D text in Microsoft Word.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I look at it, I'm like, oh, that's, I get, I mean, you know, because it's the nostalgia thing. It's like, oh, the old logo, but it's kind of just like, ooh.
Yeah, granted, I didn't really love the revamp they did for the Smith era.
Really? I love that logo.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
When they've got just, you know, the DW at the slight perspective of forming the TARDIS.
Yes.
I thought that was cool.
Okay.
When I start seeing people trying to write everything else under the sun in that font, it looks terrible.
All right. Fair enough.
That font is not suited for, you know, sentences. it's suited to say Doctor Who and that's it.
Fair enough.
And I'll stand by that.
Hey, I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
So we
ahead.
Get the doctor up in bed, just like three, interestingly enough.
Yeah, and wasn't four was in bed too, wasn't he?
No, five was.
Oh, five.
Oh, well, you know, that's true. Four was in bed for a short while.
They got a rest.
Apparently. five was in bed for quite some time.
Yes.
10 was in bed for quite some time.
Yeah. Interesting.
David Tennant's always said that Peter Davison is his doctor.
He's like, I want my first episode to be me lying in a bed. Would you consider this a Dr. Light episode?
In some ways, yes. I think they did it. I'm just going to say this now. I think they did it in such a way that he's out of commission for so much of the episode that when he does kind of make his grand entrance later, it's actually very impactful.
Yes. Oh, no, it is.
Just the right amount of time.
Yes, less is more. Very much. I agree.
But he punctuates so much of the rest of the episode that I wouldn't really call it Dr. Light.
Fair enough. If I'm looking at this script correctly, he has 57 lines. Is that how this works? Is this how your new thing you showed me works? That's not true. He has 162 lines. I'm way off. Well, this new tool tailor, I just don't know how to use it.
I don't know.
Anyway, we get it, Doctor, you vape. That's a line I have. As he's just sending vape energy.
I found that whole segment kind of cheesy.
It's very strange, right?
Letting off some Arton energy, and suddenly it's way out in space. I'm like, wow, that stuff moves fast.
Yeah, that was a note I have. Why does this move so fast? This is crazy. This is insane. And this is when we find out Harry Jones is the Prime Minister, which is cool.
Yeah,
which is fun stuff. I feel like I'm missing some stuff in the middle here.
Well, I mean, we've got left out Mickey feeling left out, but he.
I mean, he always
Rose
feels left out.
Go down to the I don't know Christmas night.
Oh yes. Apparently. Where he says, just let it be Christmas. We got to find something for your mom. Please pay attention to me.
Exactly. And then we get, man, those horns really blow.
Okay, this was amazing. Killer Santas with their tubas. And they're playing, what are they playing? God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Oh, that, yeah.
And they wanted to put some people to rest, and it was... Rose and Mickey. Apparently. Goodness. As the tube, like, and it just, like, explodes a tree.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Never change Doctor Who. Just never change. Never change with your...
That's the one thing that does change all the time is Doctor Who.
It's very true.
Yeah. But they come back, and Jackie's got a new tree.
Yes, they... Rose and Mickey put, and by Rose and Mickey, I mean just Rose, puts two and two together. She's like, we're worthless, but the doctor, we know him. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you talk yourself up a little bit more, Rose? Come on.
No, she never did finish her A-levels.
That's very true. Very true. So they go back to the flat, and I did like the mention of Boxing Day. I don't know why. I was like, oh, I know what that is. I was just very excited at the mention of Boxing Day for
it's
some reason.
It's that day on the calendar that Americans always go...
What?
Is that the day we take stuff back to the store?
Yeah.
Right?
Something like that. I don't know. Yeah. So we enter the Tyler flat, which is kind of like Rascal Flats, but not really.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
It's you're going down a country music path, and I'm about to pull you back from it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyway, so they run in, and they're like, is the doctor okay? What's going on? And they're like, where's this Christmas tree come from? And Jackie says, I thought it was you. And Rose said, I wasn't here all day. How could it have been me? What are you talking about? And then the tree... slowly lights up and starts playing Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
And it starts spinning, and it basically creates a wood chipper, basically. Or yeah. Some sort of buzzsaw. And I absolutely loved the graphics on this. I thought they were downright great / hilarious.
It was quite slapstick for its comedy.
Yes, I mean, this is a callback to the slapstickiness of the pilot, basically.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I'll give you that.
But a little more frightening, I feel.
Yes, because, you know, nothing says Christmas like a little bit of terror.
I know, very true. And Mickey's trying to fend off this killer tree with a chair, and that's not really working. And we all go into the bedroom to hang out with, you know, old sleepy doctor who's just sleeping the night away. And they're about to meet their doom. And Rose is just, she's like, hey, wake up. And she whispers into the doctor's ear, help me. And he suddenly sits up and explodes that Christmas tree.
And bloated up good.
He bloated up good. And then I love remote control. But who's controlling it? And just is like, boop, gets up. And we get a great scene. This is probably, and the outtakes for this scene are great too.
Yeah, the pilot fish scene. It's probably my favorite bit from this whole episode.
It's so good. It's so good. The I need.
Mm-hmm.
The I need scene.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I need you to shut up. Oh, he hasn't changed much, has he? It was just so good, just such a good scene. And if you can find the outtakes for that, I suggest you go out and seek it, because it's very funny, because I feel like she was improvising a lot of that.
I don't know if it was, but
she got him a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very good. And they woke him up too soon. So they woke up Rip Van Winkle way too soon, as he needs to go back to sleep because his brain is collapsing, I believe he says.
I'm having a neuron implosion.
Your brain is collapsing. Well, goodness, get back to bed, I guess. What are you, the doctor of overreactions? Get it together.
A little bit.
And she, I'm sorry, she, Rose, Rose, she gets the stethoscope again and says, well, there's only one heart. There's only one heart beating right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was another thing. Jackie at the beginning.
Oh, what else? Jackie.
What else does he have two of? Okay.
Eyes.
Yeah, eyes. Nostrils. Thumbs.
Yes.
Thumbs. Ring fingers. Pinkies. Yeah, Jackie. We get it. You're a single, apparently a not so single lady.
No.
Hanging out with a guy who likes to put
fruit in his dressing gown.
Fruit in his dressing gown. What was the first one? Was it a pear?
No, I wanted to say that it was a apple.
An apple, yes. That was actually also a very funny little interaction between Jackie and actually the Jackie and the doctor had a lot of good interactions. Was that before he passed out, right?
Yes.
Good stuff.
He couldn't do much after passing out.
No, he couldn't. No, you never know. He is the doctor. Fair. I love when we are I guess the subplot that becomes the main plot is we've launched, is it Guinevere? Guinevere, yes. 1? Into, yes, space, and we're going to get some cool stuff from Mars. It's going to be great, guys. Nothing could possibly go wrong. And it immediately does. As it is sucked up into this giant rock of a spaceship, and we get the first transmissions from it. And I kind of feel like this is a callback to Star Wars, just for me, when Rose says, "That's no rock."
Oh, I hadn't even thought about
that. That's no moon. I just I was like, I hope that's a little callback or a little tribute to Star Wars. I think that would be fun.
Oh my gosh, yes, definitely. I support that.
I did love their reaction, which is just like, blah. Everyone's like, oh my god, what the hell was that?
Well, everybody always wonders what first contact is going to be like. Yeah. It's apparently going to be a really creepy shout.
Widespread panic is what it's going to be like.
Which is funny because later, when the ship is actually coming into the atmosphere, nobody's really panicking. They're all kind of just standing quietly in awe looking at it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure if that were to happen someday, some people would. But the vast majority are going to flip the F.
Oh, yeah. They're gonna lose their minds for sure.
Exactly.
It's going to be a fun day, Taylor. Can't wait. Very, very excited for that.
It'd be more exciting than current politics. That's all I'm going to say.
Very true. So we're at unit headquarters, and I went, yeah, unit. This is great. This isn't the first time. Is this the first time unit shows up in the new series? I don't think it is.
Did we get it in World War III?
It seems like they would have shown up in World War III.
I'd have to go back and look, but this is definitely one of the first times. Let's call it that.
So I love that it's just like, as soon as we get into season two, Russell's like, all right, we got renewed. Let's bring back literally every old thing I can think to bring back.
Yeah, right?
Like in the previews, we see Sarah Jane Smith and K-9, mm-hmm. And then UNIT, of course. Yeah, good stuff.
Totally.
I would like to point out, I didn't know that, Oh, and when we're in unit, it's kind of like a scene out of the X-Files. We get the new guy that comes, or I'm sorry, not the X-Files. Let's just go with Men in Black, where we get the new guy, and it's like, oh, no, that's not Martians. Martians look nothing like that. It's just like stuff like, you know, like a little offhanded, like, wait, what? You knew about this?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We also, yes, this is what I want to talk about. Mickey is apparently a world-famous hacker. Was that something we knew about? He's like, oh, I hacked into the government.
As I like to call him, Mickey the Impossible Hacker. Because it's impossible that he could be a hacker.
I was just like, what is happening?
If I remember correctly, like, in almost a sort of unspoken backstory or hinted at backstory, Mickey in the first season kind of picks up Clive's work in terms of, like, you know, hunting down the Doctor through history, and somehow in some part of that he learns how to surreptitiously access restricted networks. They don't really explain how they do that. Maybe he sits down and watches 1995's movie Hackers.
Maybe. Hack, you know, the planet, Mickey.
Exactly. Maybe he, you know, watches a bunch of crime procedurals and he just shouts enhance at the screen. I don't know. But yes, apparently now he can hack the government, or maybe England just has really crappy security.
Maybe. I think it's that.
Okay.
He's just like, hey, guess what? I've got access to the military.
You wouldn't believe what their password was. 1, 2, 3, 4. Who knew?
That's the same password I have in my luggage. Nice. Thank you. So we find out about a code 9, which apparently is the code for... You know what? Also, a lot of these... there's a lot of stuff in here. I'm like, man, these would make good ribbons for Gallifrey 1.
Oh, yeah. Write them down.
Code 9 would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the first mention of Torchwood, which apparently nobody is supposed to know about.
And yet she does.
And yet she does. She says, like, the seeds are planted for Torchwood, where it's like, I know I'm not supposed to know about it. Just, you know, can you get them ready just in case?
Mm-hmm.
Please. Please. I, you know, whatever. Oh, and she, and also in this scene we get where she's trying to find the, you know, have no sign of the Doctor, and she says failing him.
Yeah,
like she's failed him somehow. And I thought that was very strange, because it's like, what can you do? You can't. I mean, they sent you a scary video so far. That's about all you know,
pretty much
at this point. And they, oh, I'm sorry. And they sent you a video, but you got to translate it. So. That takes time.
That's right. And somehow translating an alien language
is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of weird, right? Well, I mean, sci-fi, I guess.
So, John, going back to that whole failing him comment.
Yes.
Because I am looking at our new transcription resource.
Yeah.
And yes, the discussion between Harriet Jones and the head of unit, his name's Blake. She says, I don't suppose we've had a code 9, no sign of the Doctor? Nothing yet. You met him, haven't you? More like the stuff of legend. And Harriet says, he is that. And then says, failing him, what about Torchwood?
Oh, meaning, as in, like, if we cannot get a hold of him, what about right. Torchwood? Right. I mean, the way she said it, too, was it almost seemed like she was just very, like, she had failed him somehow.
I totally get that, but seeing just the plain text.
Yes, there. Look at that comma. Like,
oh, I know what she's saying.
There we go. Failing him, what about Torchwood? All right. Yeah. All right, UK, whatever you're saying. over there across the seas. But the failing. Anyway. So, everyone starts to they're under mind control, and yes. They're walking up buildings, and they're gonna jump if we don't surrender. They will all die.
Yeah, a couple things I noticed at this point. One, we get some really neat, you know, wide shots where just every remotely tall building,
yeah,
or remotely tall structure has people standing on it. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, this is supposed to be Christmas Day. I don't think the UK is normally this warm.
Yes,
or dry or clear skied at Christmas time. I'm not saying it never happens, but I think the odds of it are stacked against us.
Yeah. Yes, the odds are not ever in our favor.
Indeed, they're not.
So everybody's, you know, they're up on the roof. Everybody's like, hey, can you get down from the roof? And then we basically get the last plea from... okay. This from our prime minister. There's the part, it's the beginning part where it's like, ladies and gentlemen, if I may take a moment during this terrible time, mm-hmm. It's hardly the Queen's speech, but I'm afraid that's been canceled. And then does an aside, you know, just like, did we ask about the, like on live television?
Yes.
Did we ask about the royal family? Oh, they're on the roof.
Uh-huh.
I was like, come on, what is this? What is happening? Oh, they're on the roof. This could have all... what were you going
to say? There's a way that I take it, which I think is a very kind of underhanded thumbing your nose at all the royals. Because
yes.
In any given family, you're not going to have all the same blood type. But if they are all up on the roof, they all have the same blood type,
yes.
Which implies that they inbreed.
All right.
That's a great laugh.
But also, I mean, I feel like we could have just been like, Prime Minister, you have to do something because our entire royal family is on the roof.
Right. Yes. And it's, that is obviously the other level at which you could take that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we get a heavy plea from Harriet mm-hmm. Jones. I remember rewatching this like after I, you know, fully understood how great Doctor Who was. And not this time because I was just very tired. I remember getting a little emotional.
Sure.
Please help us, Doctor. Where are you? It's never been more desperate. And it's just like, ugh. And then Rose is crying. And she's just like, he's left me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he's right there. He's just taking a nap. Come on.
Right.
Oh, and it's all sad. Everyone's super sad. And then like suddenly, it's just like all of the glass in the world explodes.
And yet, with a basically a sonic wave,
yes,
of this giant spaceship entering the Earth's atmosphere, total science, right? It happens, sonic booms, all that kind of stuff. All that glass shatters, right?
Yeah.
From that force, from that percussive wave, and not a single person standing on one of those roofs falls off.
Yeah, interesting.
Don't tell me that bloodborne magic is... overriding that's sci-fi BS.
And also all of that glass broke and there was no sign of Stone Cold Steve Austin immediately after it. What gives?
Ladies and gentlemen, Tornado Tag Radio, also on NOTLG,
on hiatus currently.
I'm sorry,
we will be back. It's okay. Just because weekly shows are hard for me anyway.
I get it.
Anywho, we are teleported up into this giant rock of a ship, and maybe they'll be just like us. They are very unfortunate looking. I couldn't get over the design of their teeth. I don't know why.
Their teeth were very strange looking.
Yeah, I was like,
they were almost like split or doubled, or
yeah, like split and indented into a U shape.
Yeah,
very weird, very strange. Diva would be proud of this whip.
Bum, 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 bum. Bing, bing.
Electric whip. I love that. It's like, I will stand. And Llewellyn's like, nah, I got it. And then he is immediately dead. And then Blake is immediately dead after that. We've just got...
When you lost your satellite, you must whip it. The sicker racks will fight you... when they whip it.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. There you go. We will join us on the main and Hall A of Gallifrey 1, where we will be performing one parody song.
More like join us in the hall out front.
Yes. There you go.
Where we'll try and sing it and maybe three people will hear us.
That's true, but those three people will be very happy.
They'll love it.
I love that Rose just basically makes the decision, we got to get out of here.
Wise move.
We got to get in the TARDIS, and we're transferring the doctor, and we're transferring various food and beverage. And I did love Mickey's line where he says, the cup of tea, where he goes, the end of the world, and we're just going to have a cup of tea. That's very British.
Oh, yes, and even Rose. No, Jackie says that it's the solution to everything.
Yes, which is more on that later.
Yes.
So Jackie is the hero of the story?
Indirectly.
Indirectly the hero, yes. I told you it was tea. We get it, Jackie. You like tea. And when they are in the TARDIS trying to... Well, I think Mickey's like, hey, that looks like a TV. Let's do something with it. I don't know what that was. I'm sorry, everyone. And he activates a signal or, you know, something. And we hear about it. And we're like, beam me up. So they beam up the TARDIS. And I remember when I first saw this, I was like, oh, no. I'm like, don't go out there.
Exactly.
Don't go out there. That's where the gross things are. And Rose, of course, goes out there. Mickey follows. And we get the reuniting of our Prime Minister and Rose, which is nice. She's like, I've got you. This is the only thing I have under control. Please. And Rose, she tries.
She gives it a go, you know? Probably more than I probably would be able to manage.
Article 15 of the Shadow Proclamation. And I love that she's just like, Daleks.
Yes, exactly.
And I love that they all just laugh. They all just have a hearty laugh.
Well, and what's great is that, you know, what the Sycorax say translates into you are very, very funny, and now you're going to die.
Yes. And I love, this scene is also... so good. Oh, we've knocked over. The doctor is just hanging out in the TARDIS console. He's just sleeping on the floor. And we've knocked over the thermos of tea.
Yes.
Which spills out. And it basically acts as like a humidifier is what I feel
like. Yeah, it hits some circuitry and we basically, hey, yes, that's exactly what it is. We have some humidified tea.
Yes, which the doctor vapes immediately because he loves vaping. He just can't help it. He's indoors and he still has to vape.
Not that I vape, but somebody find me a vape pen that looks like a sonic screwdriver, please.
Do you want?
I just want to see that somebody's made one. I don't want to own it. Just want to see that somebody's made one.
Well,
you don't have to search it right now.
I searched for it right now. It appears that people. Oh boy. Well, it's a thing.
Okay, it's a thing. There you go, folks. If you vape,
get it on Etsy. You can get it on Etsy, folks. You can support your favorite sci-fi show and annoy literally everyone around you.
While you cruise in your Subaru.
There you go. Anyway. Yes, okay, so this scene's great where we kind of ease on over into English, which was the first time I saw this too, I was like, man, this is good stuff.
Yeah, no, I completely loved it. It's so subtle.
Yes, I would.
How that works, and then they're all like, wait, you're speaking English.
I would never dirty my tongue with your primitive bile.
Exactly. It's like, no, you're speaking English. And it kind of, you can see it kind of click with Rose, and it's like, boom, there it is. There's the Doctor, and it's this fantastic buildup. I do love this part of the episode.
Oh, yes. This is boom, here we go. This is it. Mm-hmm. This is it. Take the ball, run with it. He asks if he's Ginger. He's not Ginger. And then he says, and you gave up on me, Rose Tyler. Rude, and not Ginger. And the first time I demand to know who you are, and he just makes fun of him.
Yes.
Was amazing. I was like, I am 100% on board with this lengthy, crazy person.
Yep. Just absolutely takes the piss out of him.
Yes. The great big button.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the tasting of blood, your favorite part.
Yep, right.
Great big button. What am I going to do? He presses it, and everyone goes, oh, no. But nothing happens, because it's apparently just a cheap bit of voodoo.
That's right.
Which is what he calls it. And then we're just getting into he starts quoting The Lion King.
Yeah.
Which is just... It's like within 2 minutes when he is just in it, it's like, oh man, I am just 100% on board. 100% on board with this person.
Now, his type of manic is one that I absolutely love to watch.
Oh, it's the best. It's very good. And the Doctor he basically challenges the leader to a duel.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually says some mean things to him in his native tongue, which is just like, goodness, come on, Doctor, how dare you?
Well,
yeah, no,
it's the kind of man he is.
It is the kind of man he is. So we go for a bit of fresh air, and we're fighting around with some swords, and the Doctor gets his hand cut off.
Yes.
You cut off my hand. And I love the effects on the growing of the new hand.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is good stuff. And I love that it's a fighting hand.
God, and the way he says it is the best.
He's all over the place. It's just great.
For 3 seconds, the Doctor was Southern.
Yeah, he's a fighting hand. And he gets the better of his opponent and says, what does he say? He says a champion's command.
Yes.
He's like, I'll spare your life, but get out of here. And he goes to attack him, and he throws
it's basically a set, like a cutie, or just satsuma.
A satsuma.
They like calling them in England.
And he throws it at a big red button, another one, and the wings... Like, part of the ship, like, disappears, and the leader falls to his chance, or to his death. Mm. I was reading ahead. No second chances. I'm that sort of man. Whew.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yes, you are. He killed that guy. That's fine. Whatever. We get a great Doctor speech. This is Planet Earth. It is defended, and it seems... as if everything is all great.
Yep. Everything's going. Beamed back down. They're not too far from home.
No, everything's
taken off.
Our prime minister seems happy up until a point. Now, does the Doctor implant the idea of her destroying the spaceship into her head? I think he doesn't help.
Well, what makes you say that?
Well, he says you're putting a lot of attention on yourself. Earth's getting a lot of attention. There's thousands of them. There's thousands of others, hundreds of thousands of other species. Every day you're sending out probes and mess. It's very noisy here. You better get used to it.
I don't know. I don't know that.
I'm not saying he was like, man, it's a shame I let them get away. If only you had a giant laser to murder them.
If only you had a part of the Death Star built into London.
I think if he had said it in a more cheery manner, because it was kind of... if he had said it in a more cheery manner, she might have been like, oh, cool, yeah. Or if he said, oh, don't worry, they're not all this bad. He didn't even say that.
Yeah, right.
Like, at least say that. Like, oh, don't worry. That's the worst of them. Or say something that's not just like, well, every time this happens, you should be in fear for your life. No, there was none of that.
I think he intends it as a, you know, look, it's time for humans to grow up. It is time to get ready to, I'm going to sound really woo-woo when I say this, but take your place amongst the stars kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I understand that too, yeah.
But I think that, you know, I think that Harriet Jones kind of takes that same message, but takes it from a place of fear of like, oh God, there's how many?
Oh, and yeah.
They're about to go out and say, hey, we were just at this planet and hoo-hoo boy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
And I mean, the other...
That's Hester Greg's talk.
And immediately after that, Alex says, I've got the message from Torchwood. They're ready.
They finally got their pizza delivered. They're ready to go now.
Yeah, and she's like, all right, tell them the fire, I guess. And we get a nice mixture of green, and the asteroid ship goes explodey, and the doctor is not happy. But I will say, Harriet Jones makes a point. She makes a point, but it's also, she doesn't have that, it doesn't seem that she has that much faith that the doctor will set everything right if it does go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
She says, you're not here all the time, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
You come and go. It happened today. Two people were murdered right in front of they died right in front of me while you were sleeping, which I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, technically correct.
And the doctor says, I gave them the wrong warning. I should have told them about the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I could destroy you with one word. She goes, I don't think you could. She calls his bluff, which mm-hmm. is very dumb because he's the doctor. And yeah, then we get...
try and call the doctor's bluff.
No, don't. Don't you think she looks tired? And that's all it took. And we go on our merry way. We get my favorite, as we know, of the new episodes. We get a new clothes montage, kind of.
Yeah.
Very brief. I mean, we get the scarf. We get the Tom Baker, what is that season?
Oh, his last season, was that 18, 19?
Yeah, we get that
something
scarf.
Like that.
He's wearing that. And then he pulls out, you know, his regular digs, looking pretty snazzy.
Well, he also pulls out at one point the costume he wore when he was on Casanova.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yes.
That's very funny.
Yep. Here's an outfit you wore in a completely different show.
Hey, why not?
Maybe I'll wear it. Nah.
Nah, I'm good. We have some Christmas Day fun, which is just great. You know, putting mm-hmm. on the paper hats,
crackers,
paper crowns.
And
yeah. And we basically end the episode on dead alien ash. Merry Christmas, everyone. Goodness.
Yeah, not the
best,
bright, cheery ending.
I love that their immediate, like, when he's like, nope, this is dead alien ash, they're like, you know what we should do? Hang out in it some more.
Yeah, right. I'd be like, okay, I'm going
can we go inside. Can we go to like an overhang or in the TARDIS or not here?
Oh God. And you know, some kid somewhere is like, I'm gonna catch a snowflake on
oh
my
man
tongue.
Not the outfall. That's not the correct word. Where's the, oh my goodness, Taylor, help me out. It's when something happened. The fallout of that. Where's the fallout of that?
Of it's that definitely not the outfall.
Yeah. Where's the fallout of that kid eating alien ash?
Oh man.
From space. That's, there you go. Here,
there's an episode that hasn't been explored.
A 13th Doctor episode where it's previously on Doctor Who, and it's like, this is alien ash, and some kid's like, bah, and then we flash forward to it, where he's, I don't know, an alien thing. Who knows? It's Doctor Who, guys.
Yeah, why not?
Doctor basically says, no, I mean, you're coming with me. I thought because you changed, you might not want me anymore. Oh, come on, Rose. I thought because you changed, it means that I'm not good enough anymore. Shut up. Rose. Whatever. And, you know, Mickey and Jackie are like, you're both insane. But Mickey's like, you're never going to stay. Just break up with her, Mickey. Just come on, man. Clearly, you don't have a spaceship. You should just go. Well, I mean, Mickey did all right in the end.
Yeah, but through this episode, I really felt for Mickey. He was just getting the short end of the stick every single time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Oh, well. So she's like, all right, I'll go with you. And he goes, we'll go over there. It almost looks like he points in the same place.
Mm, yes.
He's like, we'll go over there. And then he goes, wait a minute. No, we'll go over there. And it's like, that's the same place.
Well, but you got to remember, in the amount of time that it took for him to say that, the universe has rotated ever so slightly.
Very true. That is very true. It has changed immensely. And that was David Tennant's first episode.
Yeah.
I rather enjoyed it, the look back. I mean, David Tennant's great. I thought this is a fine first episode for our 10th Doctor.
Yeah, it was good. I have to admit, I'm curious what his first episode would have been like had it not been a Christmas episode.
Yeah, that would have been... Would we actually have gone to Barcelona?
Yeah, right?
Did we ever go to Barcelona? No.
No. Not unless they did it in like a Big Finish or a comic or something.
That would be an interesting Big Finish.
Yeah.
So, Taylor, we'll be waiting for him. Next time.
Yes.
Here we go. I am the
last piece of the puzzle.
Yes. For now, the last piece of the puzzle until...
Until the 13th Doctor's first episode, yes.
Whenever that will be. Does everyone October. Know our goal? Do they know our goal?
Our goal?
Our goal is to watch all the first Doctors, and then we're gonna go ahead and rank them, is what we're going to do.
Oh.
I feel like we discussed this, did we not?
We probably did, but we haven't in a while.
Okay, so that's the 11th Hour is what we're watching next, starring Matt Smith as the Doctor, Karen Gillan as Amelia Pond, and Arthur Darvill as Rory. I was going to try and say his name from Legends of Tomorrow, where he is basically the Doctor. Anyway, written by Stephen Moffat and directed by Adam Smith, one of my favorites. A little hint
what,
there.
What, in terms of directors? Because it's an easy to pronounce name?
No, I'm saying the episode.
Oh yes. No, the episode is very good. Yes.
So, yeah, after the 11th Hour, the next episode we will be doing will be a ranking of each episode. And then we will be able to, after Jodie's first episode, we can be like, where would you put this? And then we will have the definitive list.
At least until the next Doctor's cast.
Whenever that may be.
May that be a long time from now.
Yes. Agreed. Hear, hear.
Indeed. Indeed. And I have to say, I can't believe that we've come this far with it. And I think this ranking episode, this will be your first in your new locale.
Yes, it will. It will be.
Oh, that'll be exciting.
The very first one. You know, it will be very exciting to see how well the internet is down there.
You're right. Make sure nobody is doing big uploads or big downloads when we record.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think here, Taylor, because that'll be the 20th. The next time we record will be the 28th, 29th. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That will indeed be the first, not the 11th Hour, the ranking episode will be my first episode. So, you got anything else before I plug it on up here?
No, I don't think so.
All right. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at ThePodcastica. You can follow me on Twitter at JP Thrice, and you can follow Taylor on Twitter
at Apex Buddha.
Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Search Podcastica. Look for the Gallifreyan writing and rate and review us as well. Also, subscribe to us on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/TheNOTLG. What else do we got here? NOTLG.spreadshirt.com. Check it out. We have many shirts, and with Jodie's episode coming up in the near future, you should buy yourself the Future of Time and Space's female shirt. It is a very good shirt. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And patreon.com/NOTLG. Donate to us if you would like to. That would be very great. It helps us keep things going here. And then I would just head on over to NOTLG.com and listen to, I don't know, many of the other shows we have. Taylor, we could listen to If Memory Serves.
Yes.
What did we have this month?
We did a 2-hour epic on video games that we grew up with.
There you go. You guys should check that out.
I have to say that the Gallifrey Public Radio guys last night when I mentioned it mentioned our topic, they're like, did you mention any text-based games? I'm like, well, yeah, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy one, and they were very impressed by that. So I think we got 2 new subscribers last night.
Perfect.
Very happy about that. Yes.
There you go. So NOTLG.com, check out that and many other podcasts. The Y-Axes, check them out. They are on Bandcamp, the Y-Axes.bandcamp.com. They are also on Spotify. You can check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/theYaxes. Join us again in 2 weeks when we talk about the 11th hour, and we will talk to you guys then. See ya.
See ya.
All right, let's do this. Alexa? No, stop.
You have an Alexa?
Yeah, I do.
I'm never talking in your house. Don't trust him.
I got it for free from the government.
I trust it even less now.
I recorded that. I'm very excited.
Excellent.